Shame About Me, Steely Dan. And I gotta tell ya, Donald Fagen and Walter Becker are still going strong, absolutely. I've taken Jeff to a number of their concerts in Philadelphia. The last one, I think it was at, at 69th Street. Forget the name of the venue right now, but it's very cool. And tickets are a little pricey, but you know what? My son absolutely loves Steely Dan, as do I. And, you know, I'm a Jersey girl. And, you know, Donald Fagen's from Paramus. So, hey, there you go. What do you want? And so that goes out to Jeff, turned 23, one of his favorite Steely Dan songs. And my name is Cindy, and you're listening to Volta Radio, a new face and place here for Volta Radio in Old City, and it is just so cool. And please come out to the launch party. So, more 23 songs. This next cut. By the way, wasn't the Big Creek with 23? I love that cut. That's like such a cool cut. I'm going to have to keep that in my library. And for all of you who either just recently turned 23 or are going to be turning 23, that song goes out to you, as do all the other ones that I'll be playing this evening. So this next one is by The Silence, and it is number 23, and it's a very cool song as well. So here we go with The Silence.
Down a dream that never would come to me. Working like anything was possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days, the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine. Put the pedal down to make some time. There's something good waiting down this road. I'm picking up whatever is mine. I'm running down a dream.
Testicle 1-2, testes 1-2. The Reverend is in. We'll begin in a minute or two.
One of my son's favorites, again, playing his favorites and songs with the word 23 or the number 23. And this next cut is by Yellow Card, entitled 23. I hope you like it. I think it's absolutely cool. So, I just thought that every 23 song that I should tell you what it is, in case you don't know, because intermixed in the 23 songs are classics, and if you don't know those, well, then you have been not, you know, involved in the music scene at all, or, you know. Testicle 1-2, testes 1-2, the big phallic microphone is working, and the microphones for these guys who will not talk,
this weapon of mass destruction is working. And the big porn star John Holmes microphone is working. Ready at any time. Yes, I am ready. Let's do it. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight is the 10th anniversary show, part 2. And we have a very special guest who is going to come on the show. At least we think this person is going to come on the show. But nevertheless, this guest is here and should be very interesting. Let's play the first set of tunes and then we'll come back. We'll hash some of the past tonight, but not too much. We are going to do a part 3, and then that's the end of it. We're moving on after that, and that's next Sunday. But for tonight, we will look back just a little bit and discuss why we do this crazy shit, and then we will have our guest before the third set of tunes. Let's begin. How do you begin a 10th anniversary celebration? Well, celebrating love, for one, and blasting the Ramones, for two. So let's begin with the Ramones version of Somebody to Love.
When the Christmas bells TV lies and all the chores will be needed, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Don't you love somebody to love? Find somebody to love. We'll be right back.
This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist, celebrating part two of the 10th anniversary show. And it's so exciting to have this special guest here. And we're going to play a song now for the bumfucks in Congress who are fighting against reproductive rights and a woman's right to choose, one of the pro-choice anthems on the show from Monty Python's The Meaning of Life film soundtrack. This goes out to the American Christian Taliban and the anti-choice terrorists. It's entitled Every Sperm is Sacred.
There are Jews in the world, there are Buddhists, there are Hindus and Mormons, and then there are those that follow Mohammed's books. I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic, and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer, you don't have to have a great brain, you don't have to have any clothes on, you're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred, every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Ground. God shall make them pay This is Deborah.
And Keith.
From Band Davy. And you're listening to Reverend Book Club on The Reverend Is In at VultureRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001. Every cell in Chibble Town, the minds of the country man.
Dead Washington Bullets from this Sandinista CD. From the band Davey, you heard Deborah and Keith from Davey doing the Volta Radio Station ID. And the Reverend is in Primo. From Monty Python, you heard Every Sperm is Sacred, Galaxy Song, Sit on My Face, and Penis Song. Reagan Youth did Jesus Was a Communist, TSOL did Code Blue, and started off with the Ramones doing Somebody to Love. This is Reverend Buckburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight is the 10th anniversary show, part 2. The next show will be the 10th anniversary show, part 3. And that will be next Sunday night, which is... Thank you guys who haven't missed the bomb too much. February 6th. It's hard to go. No, they're creating an actual higher functioning thing. I love them. So, I'm told I'm hard on them. Am I hard on them? So I don't know, even when you are toasted and fried, I'm not doing anything or fixing anything. But anyway, yeah, they did remember the date, which is February 6th, which is next Sunday night, and that will be the final installment of it. Anything you forget or don't do or don't get around to, or play musically, or whatever, that's the end of it. We're moving on. And moving on to what? I don't know. And I don't know when the next show is after February 6th. I'll take at least one Sunday night off. And future projects will include... We're still wanting to do the animation project, just that it, you know, somebody's interested for a while and they're not. That's still like in the fetus stage, but it's a potential project. Thank you. So we're still wanting to do the animation project, and we are working on future guests, including musical guests, who want to play on the show, and we'll probably get Diamond D aside back again when he blows through these parts, and John Perry is also interested in playing on the show again, and some new musical guests who have never been on the show before. However, we're not announcing that until it seems definite. We're also supporting the project of our friend Javier, who is doing the Uncensored TV project, which is... We'll give you links as that updates. And there's one already at reverendbookman.com. The videos that shows the culture of the AC in Tucson, where the killings of people by the teabagger General Lochner occurred, and the wounding of the congresswoman and the killing of several others. And it was a product of the teabaggers and the total lunatics like Lochner and Black and Cowan, but also, there was already a culture there in Arizona full of racists and psychos and the gun culture, etc. And his video project is going to open a lot of insight into the culture and what has been going on to lead up to the tragedy a couple of weeks ago. And we're also going to be a part of a tribute project for the late Peter McWilliams. If you've never heard of him, you will. Long-time bookburners have. We talked about his book on one of the earlier shows, like way, way back. Before he died, he wrote several books, but the one that came our way was Ain't Nobody's Business If You Do, The Absurdity of Crimes of Consent. I think I got the title right. But anyway, we'll keep you posted as we work on Peter McWilliams' tribute effort. And other than that, I don't know what's in the future for us. We had a goal to make it to 10 years and to encourage activists, people of conscience, volunteers, fundraisers, people who keep the world going around, to prevent the shit canning of the world until we made it to the 10th anniversary. And we still don't want that to change. We don't want the teabaggers, the crazy psychos who run corporate America, who in fact run America, and consequently run the world. We still don't want it chicken. We still want the insanity to reverse. We want the programming of the corporate media to be reversed. And we want people to be deconditioned. So we will continue to deprogram. We will continue to provide music and humor and insight into the world and deconditioning by the sex negatives, by the anti-weed buffoons, by the pillars of state and church, and everyone else who programs minds with our propaganda, but most of all the corporate propaganda machines that control the teabaggers, suckers, and people who believe in myths. And interestingly enough, people around the world with less educational facilities, less information access, and live in worse conditions seem to get that rather than the two-psycho logic of scapegoating others through bigotry and just general lunacy, to focus on the real culprits, the wealthiest, and their representatives in government, and that they can act on that and affect change. And if you don't believe that, take a look at Egypt. And already a lot of douchebags, mostly in the Republican Party, are saying we have to stick with the dictator. And even though that sounds like Jason Corn, sticking with the dictator is one of the stupidest things to repeat over and over again in foreign policy. And it's bad enough that dictators around the world and sweatshop owners and people in the Free Trade Alliance and all of that kind of shit are carving up and decimating the world and countless people. But to stick by the dictator, even during the winds of change, means that the speaker is especially stupid and pandering to the most psychotic of his supporters. So, they need a response. When the dickheads in the new Republican Congress start saying we need to stand by our dictators, they need comments and counter-arguments that all of their dreams and trolls have on articles about such a subject. And interestingly about Egypt is that they used a lot of social networking sites and the internet as a part of their calls to action, including Facebook. So I guess they got past the Facebook police and fashionistas and effectively communicated, which is why the Egyptian dictatorship attempted to shut down the internet. And there's still ways around it. And people are helping them, but the decision was made because they are fully aware of the role of the internet and even social networking sites in the power to organize. Alright, do we have any birthdays or deaths? Hi from Fran Hugs. We don't have birthdays of friends that we know of or that we're remembering, but coming up is the birthday of somebody, one of the few people that we believe actually deserves to be in prison. Coming up is the birthday of Dickless Cheney, war criminal, corporate criminal, and one of the architects of the deception, the willful and deliberate deception to lie to everybody in America for the purpose of beginning a war for oil. So we do not wish a happy birthday to Dickless Cheney. And ditto, the 100th birthday of somebody who's also, a dead man, Ronald Reagan, the architect of the decline of our economy and social justice and the environment and world stability. So, yes, it's wrong to acknowledge. Thank you. These guys are high functioning. I acknowledge that. Yes, it is still taboo, even for the so-called opposition party, the Democrats. Lord, may they please grow a spine. To acknowledge the role of Reagan in fucking up the nation and planting the seeds for deeper destruction down the road, especially in policies regarding the economy and favoring corporate America while slashing people in need. Reagan is on the cover of, I didn't stick around to watch it, it was his tour, but in one of the bullshit so-called news magazines, he's on the cover, pretending that he wasn't a war criminal at the head of the Contra-Terrorist War against the people in Nicaragua, and so much more. It's a smiling, dumb fuck in a cowboy hat. So we don't wish a happy birthday to you either. And that's it for birthdays. The deaths. Since the last show, the only death that we really noticed that's worthy of mentioning here is the death in the last couple of days of David Fry. David Fry was a comedian in the 60s and 70s, best known for his lampoonery of another war criminal named Richard Nixon. And of course, he has the traits of the other guys we've been mentioning. Pathological liar, criminal, and war criminal, and on. And of course, seriously, mentally damaged. David Fry did probably the best job of impersonating him and lampooning him, and probably a great person on this as well, but he got so big that, similar to George Carlin in those days, and a handful of others. They kind of got too big to be silenced, the Richard Nixon way. So he lived a full life until a couple days ago. How old was he? I'm not sure. From 76 or 77. So anyway, farewell to David Fry, impersonator of Richard the Brick Nixon. Okay. Let's see. Now the guests will come out after the second set of tunes. We wanted to talk about at least the vital parts of history. Now, it's not just that the writing on these many sheets of paper is barely legible, but it's also too much stuff. But it is essential to acknowledge the predecessor of our two high-functioning friends and colleagues here, Pastor Hormaster and John McCaffis, and thank you to both of you. But their predecessor and original producer of the Reverend is In from the beginning in 2001 until he died at age 31 in 2005 was Marlon the Great Engineer. And Marlon did so much, and when we had crappy equipment, and when we were desperate to find that one song for the theme show that we were about to do, whether it was Love Night, coinciding with Valentine's Day, or the erotic interpretation of the Super Bowl, and we're going to make it up to you, canceling those theme shows and play a couple of songs that would normally go with those shows, or other traditional shows like Easter, what some people would do to get married, etc. And that one song would come to mind, and he'd fucking find it. He was like the Full Circle Records guys, R.I.P., from Blackwood, New Jersey. And he would find something in little notice, plus make recordings, including the fart sounds that we use when we present the Asshole of the Week awards. He loved the band called The Residents. He loved Frank Zappa. He loved the Church of the Subgenius, featuring Bob Boggs, and the Church of Slack, etc. So we used to be updated and all that kind of stuff. And so much more. Great friend, a great collaborator, and we want to acknowledge, especially on this occasion, Marlon Solar, known as Marlon the Great Engineer, as well as Infidel Guy, who started a thing in the early days of the show of relay broadcasting the show. So he would actually pick up the stream as we're broadcasting it. I'm not sure how this worked, but it was a kind of a suck and split kind of tactic where he would take the stream and then put it out over his stream when he was doing the Infidel Guy show, which I don't know if he still did, but at the time. And that exposed us to legions more people, and also brought in some of the people who became long-time hardcore bookbinders. Two or three of the people who recorded shows for the archives, and I don't want to say this about them, sure, but I think that's how we connected with Pastor Rex Kent. Pastor Rex Kent is the co-producer now and recording engineer and archivist from Canada. And and records and archive shows to this day at Radio 4All, radio4all.net. And the last show, part one, is loaded at Radio 4All. And if there are no technological mishaps, tonight's part two show will also be there soon. And he does so much worse. Thank you, Pastor Rex Scott and Infidel Guy. Respect and honor to Marlon and, of course, Pastor the Master and Johnny Practice. And I don't really think I get to hear them, even when they are stony-headed. I mean, it's part of the fun. You know, if something doesn't get too screwed up, then, you know, then it's fun and funny. And, yeah. All right, getting talked about. We didn't even talk about all this stuff. We didn't get getting talked about. So, next week, especially if you don't have a guest, we'll also play some of the recordings that we did. Like goof recordings, like the sounds that we do for all of the awards and things like that, which for show highlights, and I think that's good. Oh, yes, before we go back to the music, I want to acknowledge some of the live guests we've had through the years. This doesn't look like a complete list at all. But we had Darren Deicide as a solo musician in the past, although there wasn't room for his band to play in a regional location. He was a live guest with his bandmates in the anarchist punk band called Hopeless Dregs of Humanity. Clippy John, I guess, several times. Lord Jesus. Mr. Scott. And early guests, including sex writer Laura Whisper, author of The Top 10 Sex Myths That Screw America. And I don't know if that's out yet or not, but we are in touch with him for the past handful of months. The very first guest ever on the show, Bill Baird, from ProChoiceLeague.org. Bill Baird and Jamie Scott. And, they're doing fine. They can always use some bucks. And, even if, only two people can afford to send a small thing, send it to ProChoiceLeague.org. We don't ask for money for ourselves or anything we benefit from, but it's worthwhile. ProChoiceLeague.org. Guests from the Peekaboo Review, which was an awesome, awesome show, including Melissa Bang Bang, and we're in touch with them. And this past year was a great year for reconnecting. Renee Bryant wasn't on the show, but we also reconnected from the hardcore band All or Nothing HC and On the Ride, zine, ontheride.net. Janet Perry, musical guest. Lisa Bouchelle, musical guest. Laura Shea, musical guest. Porn star Jackie Joy. Free Thought activist Everlasting Godstopper. Our spanking guests, which was also the cast members of Peekaboo Review, as well as Holy Bloody Mary and DJ Cassandra from the old Volta days, and we have to thank them. Once again, those were certainly the most fun shows to do. And I don't know what it is about this winter, but my voice is still shot to shit. We're going to go to the second set of music if they're audible. The big boys have been playing in the background. And, yeah, we'll play all of these. would start off with a song about the war on drugs. This is a bonus CD that comes with the DVD version of the great documentary about Amsterdam called Sex, Drugs, and Democracy. The recording artists are Professor X and Congo, and this track is entitled War on Drugs.
This is Dr. Greed, and I am totally appalled by the shenanigans that are going on in here. I despise advocating for the poor and needy, and I despise lampooning everything I hold sacred, including the people who govern us and the people who rule our religious institutions. And now I have to introduce a disgusting song by the Bloodhound Gang from their Hooray for Boo-Boo CD that makes fun of my friends in the religious right and in the Teabagger Congress. The song is entitled, "A Lap Dance Is So Much Better When the Stripper Is Crying."
Spin this long, it's stupid, you all be double-digits. I just wanna cowboy in a one-piece silky dress. sexy people. Not even Laura Bush. Well, I think Laura Bush is pretty, but you know her pussy tastes like Lysol. Disinvited to the Democratic National Convention. It's as dangerous as the truth. I know there are a lot of mans in here who have no idea what pussy tastes like.
Yeah.
heard Behind Enemy Lines doing Hooked on Christ and Cycle of Violence. Margaret Cho did Laura and Barbara Bush from her comedy CD entitled Assassin. Rage Against the Machine did Kick Out the Jams. Audrey Michelle and Lyrical Militant did Follow My Lead. Before that, Reverend Book Burns' animation theme. Judy Tenuta did Dating the Pope and Pope Song. Bloodhound Gang did A Lap Dance Is So Much Better When the Stripper Is Crying. Artist Unknown did Pussycat Song. Another artist unknown did Below Me and started off with Professor X and Congo doing War on Drugs. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight is the 10th anniversary show, part 2. And yes, next week, February 6th, is 10th anniversary show, part 3, and that is the final part. And there will be updates, of course, always, as always, at reverendbookburn.com, which, yes, thank you. It is at a new location, but it's automatically direct, because there's something weird. And the blog is weird. Okay, we're getting ready for our guest, who is coming. I think, I want to save that for next week, highlighted shows, because there's too many, and I don't just want to name them, and I'm going to talk about them, so we're going to save that. Let's see, we did talk about the animation, so these are the Reverend Bookburn products, and it amuses us no end that somebody will ask if we really do this and if we really do have this product line. And I don't want to answer that kind of a question because it's too funny to receive a question like, do you really market these products? The two longest standing products that we have advertised from the Reverend Bookburn product line are chocolate contraception, which of course would guarantee memory and compliance, and inflatable altar boys so that we can protect the real altar boys. And if somebody asks you if that product line is real, give them any response you want and say, oh yes, there's lots of shit over at the Reverend Is In that is unique and available very cheap. We have a new category of haters, which is very amusing. In the past, we got a lot of shit from holy rollers, anti-abortion goons, especially as we took a stand, which we have all along, for the rights not only to birth control and abortion, but also to late-term abortion, which saves countless women's lives. And, so we got a lot of shit from the racists, a lot of shit from the Christian supremacists and theocrats, the anti-abortion goons, and when we started doing the masturbation-related shows in celebration of National Masturbation Month, which is in May, we started getting shit from more of these fundamentalist whack jobs, including the XXX Church. But they're supposed to be the nice and nice Christians, and they act that way at porn conventions. But coincidentally, when we started getting a lot of shit from them, that's when, like, all these, like, hackings and viruses started turning up. But that's just a coincidence, and they deny any role in it. But we got a lot of shit from the XXX Church, anti-abortion groups, racists, and miscellaneous other oddities and inbred teabaggers. But now we're getting shit from football fans from around here in beautiful Philadelphia who like the Philadelphia Eagles and didn't like what happened on last week's show, or part one of the 10th anniversary show. However, I would like to point out that it was our guest who dissed the sacred football player, you know, like celebrities, you know, can do no wrong, of talking about asshole Michael Vick, animal torturer, and murderer. But it was our guest, Jesus H. Christ, who spoke out, actually on behalf of himself and his old man. And it was he who said that there was going to be divine intervention against that asshole team, and that it was in fact he and his old man that prevented them from being winners, that they decided that even though they overlooked so much shit century after century, they could stomach that asswad any longer and intervene. So, you know, go back to your tailgating, go back to your sister and your lover, actually the same person, and say, oh man, he fucking talked about the Eagles and the shows in Philadelphia. Yes, I'm very saddened that a part of your world is worshipping a bunch of Neanderthals running around on the field, knocking each other down in a display of testosterone overkill, but then their tender, affectionate side comes out, and they do little pats on the behind, and throw their arms and legs around each other after a touchdown, and get hard-ons during the pile-ups. Yes, like we covered year after year in the erotic interpretation of the Super Bowl shows. And yes, your sacred Eagles are fucked for having an animal abuser, torturer, killer on their team. Anyway, I hope you feel better. And, oh, here she is, our great guest for the evening. We've had nuns on here before who, on the side, were also dominatrixes. How do you pluralize dominatrix? The bomb boys don't know. Dominatrix? Dominatrixes? Anyway, we've had nuns who were also dominatrixes before, but not this one. She's very special, just met her. And her name is Sister Whip. And you can sit down there. That big thing that looks like a penis is your microphone. Actually, that specific one is the weapon of ass destruction. And speaking of ass destruction, you have been known to be on the rougher side with your whips, with your implements of mayhem, and your spanking. So why don't you talk about yourself a little bit and some of your experiences as Sister Whip. Well, I am mostly a nun, but when I get my whip, by straightened masses in mind, mostly people from the church, like the last pope. He had a diaper fetish and loved when I would change him first, put on baby powder, and then spank his ass. He was always messing himself. He was just like Senator David Liver when he went to the D.C. Madam's place. And then he wanted a good pat. Well, first a paddling, and then the whipping. And he wanted to cry because of all of his shenanigans, like supporting dictators and covering up for pedophiles and that sort of thing. Really? So you whipped the late Pope John Paul II, the one that they want to make a saint, one of the first known pedophiles to enter the sainthood? Yes, I whipped his ass good. And also the rat boy himself, Pope Ratzinger. He got it really good because he implemented the previous pope's orders to cover up for the pedophiles and the pedophile cover-uppers in the cardinals, which was a lot of them. But the rat wasn't into diapers. Pope Rat was into me putting on a strap-on and penetrating his asshole, which he truly loved. And then his reward was to get my whip. You really need to write a book. This is too precious. It needs to be shared with those who do not have the opportunity or the awareness of the show or the opportunity to hear it. So, Oops whipped the present-day Pope, Pope Rat, and the previous one, the late Pope John Paul II. Anybody else in church circles, or anybody who would be known to the book burners? I whipped Cardinal O'Connor at his own request for covering up the pedophilia at Covenant House by Father Bruce Ritter, and for being so against AIDS services in the early days of AIDS in New York City, and just being a pompous ass in general, and screaming about the lyrics of songs by Ozzy. So what did you do? I fisted him, and he paid me. Well, did you take pictures? I mean, he's dead, and some people could say that they disbelieve you. It's the goddamn fucking truth, and there is a video, and I don't know where it is, but someday it will surface when somebody decides they can no longer sit on it. Just like the video I made when I whipped and paddled and humiliated Cardinal Law. Oh, please, tell me about that. Cardinal Law wanted to crawl across the room, face down, until he arrived at my feet. He began his nibbling there and worked his way up to eating my ass and begged me to squat over him and give him a golden shower, which I did. He also paid me to visit the founder and leader of the pro-pedophile cover-up organization called Catholic League, and its own leader, William Donahue. Oh, you must tell me, what did you do with Billy? That I'm not going to tell you, Reverend Buckburn, because that man is fucking dangerous, and he's not dead. He only looks it. But on a future show, I will tell you what William Donahue is into. And on the next show that you have me on, I will tell you about a real session I did in Calcutta with Mother Teresa once the flies removed themselves from her bodily areas. Okay, well, thank you. Those sound like very good stories. And I want to encourage you once again to write that book, because this is something that the public, and not just the bookburners, should know about, and at the very least, get some entertainment from. Behind Enemy Lines is in the background, if they're audible enough. But we're going to get into the third set of music. This is a song we never played on the show before, because it is a recent purchase. It is a song about the pedophile priests by DRI, also known as Dirty Rotten Imbeciles, from their Full Speed Ahead CD. This goes out to those sick motherfuckers in the priesthood. This track is entitled Wages of Sin. W. Bush, and I approve this message. I just want to say that I'm very proud of Reverend Bookman for making it 10 years and providing quality entertainment and having spanking guests on his show. And it's the kind of thing we in government used to do to impress trade leaders, military contractors, and religious right leaders. And so I want to congratulate you on 10 years of spanking, 10 years of decadence, and 10 years of uncensored obscenity and filth, so that you could provide the kind of entertainment that your book burners will never get from the corporate media, because we saw to it that that would be the case. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
wife did not protest what our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own teabagging in private. I guess that's in support of my effort for last year. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our teabags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting teabagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the teabagging on. Hey, you all, can I succeed from America? All hail teabagging. This is Dr. Verma Hall saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a little of them before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week, the Never Runner-Up. Sunday, January 30th, 2011, at VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and RadioForAll.net. The runner-up to Asshole of the Week is Alabama Governor Robert Bentley. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley, in an obvious move to appease the lowest of the lows, which are his fan base, decided that Christian supremacy needs to be a part of his public speaking and his actions. Already called out on it nationwide, he holds his head up as a proud member of the American Christian Taliban and proudly proclaims himself to be a Christian supremacist, bigoted against people who are in any way different from him, and anybody who isn't a fascistic version of Christian worldviewism, much like his Taliban brothers are halfway around the world. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley, runner-up to Asshole of the Week. And that means that we need a very special recipient who can outshine even the runner-up to Asshole of the Week. But there is, in fact, a worthy recipient who can outshine the runner-up. Tonight, on The Reverend Is In, a very extremely deserving and appropriate choice. We're not going to go to fart sounds. No, not all the fart sounds. Starting with Cheech from Cheech and Chong. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is not an individual, but a group of people. public office, mostly in Congress. The U.S. mouthpieces for the Egyptian dictator. These people are more than just inbred teabaggers who want to further fuck the poor as they serve their only constituents, the wealthiest. These are people who not only want policies and public statements that are among the most stupid and inhumane, but these are people who are recklessly spreading their insanity around the world, primarily by defending the lowest dictators who often happen to be corporate business allies. But the need to support dictators is only a need of the wealthiest and not of anybody who is interested in justice, who is interested in the will of the people in this nation and beyond. The U.S. mouthpieces for the dictator of Egypt, as well as those who supported the military coup in Honduras, and others as well, and continue to take such ludicrous and inhumane stands. You are assholes of the week. Alright, one of the presents. Thank you. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Fuller, 2009 version. And thank you 100 times, thank you to the fans of Howard Stern, who, whatever started this, I don't know, but who started a war against Dr. Laura and have been pranking her and dogging her in a spectacular way. You have done a great public service. May this continue. Thank you again. Before Ms. Terry, you heard Corrosion of Conformity doing Holier and Intervention. DOA did The Times They Are A-Changing from their recent CD, Talk Minus Action Equals Zero, from Sudden Death Records, suddendeath.com. And the most recent release from Jello Biafra, by Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine CD, entitled The Audacity of Hype. You heard the track entitled Panic Land from Alternative Tentacles label, alternativetentacles.com. The Jam did Absolute Beginners. Social Distortion did the greatest Johnny Cash cover ever, Ring of Fire, and started off with DRI, Dirty Rotten Abyssals, doing their song about pedophile priests entitled Wages of Sin. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight, the theme has been the 10th anniversary show, part 2. And as you may have guessed, on our next show, it is the 10th anniversary show, part 3. And however much we don't cover, don't get to, or songs that we thought would be good for the anniversary but didn't get to play, however short or however much we get covered and accomplished or not accomplished, we will not subject you to any more of this shameless self-indulgence any more than last week. So, part 3 is the final installment of celebrating 10 years on this show in uncensored independent media. Big thanks to Mother Voltaire, alias DJ Cindy, Nancy from Murgatroyd Productions, Pastor Rex Cat, who should, if there are no technical difficulties, have this show uploaded at radio4all.net in like a week or less. And again, next week, February 6th, is part 3 of the 10th anniversary show. After that, we'll be off the Sunday after that, and I'm not sure what the theme is or when specifically we're returning. Beyond that, write to Rev Bookburn at revbookburn@sjcdc.org. Check out the always updated and loads of goodies, reverendbookburn.com. On YouTube, the YouTube channel is youtube.com/revbookburn. On MySpace, myspace.com/reverendbookburn. On Facebook, which does not allow Rev or Reverend to be a first name, The Rev, last name Bookburn. And on the info tab, the link to Pages, the Reverend Bookburn fan site. We will be back next Sunday night for part 3. Thank you, all Bookburners. And thanks, Radio 4 All, and everybody I forgot, and these guys forgot, in their bomb-induced blur. We're going to play a final tune and then get out of here by the Minutemen, and they are no relation to the racist psycho militia teabaggers that run up and down the borders being dangerous. This is a band of cool people who were anti-racist and anti-war and very cool guys, including the late Dean Boone, Mike Watt. This is from the Minutemen's CD entitled Three-Way Tie for Last, playing the cover by originally by Creedence Clearwater Revival, entitled Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Good night.
It's over, it's over, it's in. It'll rain, it's fine.
Here this evening, and so what I'm going to do is put back on the CD that has been playing, and I'll be with you very shortly. It's about 9:04 p.m. here in Old City, Philadelphia. So don't go away. That's some very cool music for you within the next hour.
Your silhouette stands in front of me, but I can't find the word from where I've been, or the will to break from this dream. But it's getting hard to bear everything you want. Truth's not you and the lies on me. It's the only way to define the lines we set between.